It's the doc and the deacon, stethoscope and hope, talking everything from poop to the pope. One believing in spiritual miracles, the other believes in movement vows that are irritable. Two dads, more like two brothers, and they breaking bread like the Last Supper. This show won't get negative feedback, that be like the deacon prescribing a Z-Pack. So don't get it twisted like a Philly pretzel. Foles already told y'all that Philly special. Take notes from the knowledge they're teaching. Pay attention, it's the doc and the deacon speaking.
Welcome to Doc and the Deacon, a podcast about two dads, one of us believing in the power of science,
one of us believing in the power of Jesus,
but both of us believing in the power of ice cold beer.
Hey, I got an idea. Let's start today off with a little bit of a joke.
I'm ready.
Are you ready? Okay.
I guess I'm ready for a deacon
joke.
Yeah.
What do you call a doctor that flunked out of med school?
I don't know.
A dentist.
So, yes. Well, it's actually very difficult to get into dental school. And in my hometown, the doctor drum in my hometown is a dentist.
Oh,
and, yeah? Yeah. And it is Dr. Emily Drum, who married my brother, the dentist of the day, so you can learn everything there is to know about teeth. Because recently
Is she here?
Yeah, she's here. I want to introduce her.
Oh, can I restart with a different joke then?
No, you knew she was here. And you're religious. Isn't like saying hurtful things somewhere in the Bible?
It's not one of the Ten Commandments.
Okay.
To be nice.
Oh, there she is. Hi, Dr. Drum.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, recently I was at an event and we're hanging out and this guy realizes I'm a physician and he had a few beers and he's like, you know, doctors don't know anything about teeth. And I was like, okay, sure. And he's like... Do you even know how many teeth are in the human mouth? And I was like, well, I think so. I think there's...
There's 32, right?
Yeah, 32.
Yes.
32, yep.
Even I know that. Yep. I could be a dentist.
Well, I'm not sure that's the case. But four incisors, two canines, four premolars, and sometimes six molars. And my question, though, is why did you want to become a dentist? And then why did you marry my brother?
Oh, Lord.
Oh, those are two loaded questions.
I thought we were going to try and keep this timely. I didn't always want to be a dentist. I thought I was going to be a neonatal intensive care unit nurse. And it was during that rotation that I went into the OR and saw a surgery and wanted to go into surgery. And my dad, who is a doctorate of dental surgery, said after my day at school that day that a dentist is sort of like a surgeon. And then that's when I started to think about dentistry as a possible profession.
Well,
is that what DDS stands for?
Yep.
Oh, I always thought it was don't do. Oh, never mind.
Well, I love it. And now my son wants to be a dentist as well. And Ooh. So one of the things is, you're right, I don't know that much about teeth. And I realize I don't know that much about teeth. So we're going to go through some of the common things. And have you tried to explain it to the lay people and the listeners of Doc and the Deacon? Like, what does this actually mean? So we're going to go number one.
Wait. We got to wait on another question.
You're right.
Why did you marry Brian Drum? He's not a dentist, right?
No.
Okay.
No. I married Brian Drum because he was... always someone that I knew that was around, that was hanging out with people that I knew.
Yeah.
So
it's like
when I would hang out with people when I was home from dental school or home from college and everyone was hanging out as friends.
Yeah.
He was someone that was always in the friends group. And then.
So your friends
zoned
him? We
went from. Friends to more than friends because there was always an attraction there.
Woo! You know, there's a Seinfeld episode where George Costanza meets a girl and he goes, you know, if you hang around me long enough, then I'll stick on your mind. And before you know it, you'll be humming a little tune. You're like, Costanza. So, and then before you knew it, she was humming the tune. Costanza. She couldn't get him out of her mind. Is that what happened to Emily Drum with Brian Drum?
Well, the drum song is a little different, but yes.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, we sing that song.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
How's it go?
Well, I love that you now are the other Dr. Drum. I love that you fell in love with my brother. And now I want to know, what the heck does gingivitis mean?
Gingivitis is just simply the inflammation of the gingiva, which is the gum tissue around our teeth.
And is that just from not flossing enough?
Well, where there is plaque, there will always be inflammation of the gum tissue.
Woo! Put that on a t-shirt and sell it.
So it's a direct relationship.
Where there is plaque, there will always be inflammation
of the gum.
You want that on a t-shirt?
On a t-shirt,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, excellent.
Would that help? Let me ask you a question. When it comes to the gingiva, are there people that are predisposed to having that the plaque build up?
The mouth is cultivated with different bacteria for different people's mouths. Just okay. Like different, like agar plates could have different bacteria growing in them, depending on what you put in there.
Mm.
What is fluoride doing when you use fluoride protection? Should we put fluoride in the water?
There is a degree of fluoride in our water, which is why people that are on well water might need to add fluoride if they're having an issue with decay. But unless if you're not cultivated with bacteria that's going to cause tooth decay, and that's not a problem for you personally, then fluoride makes no difference.
Fluoride,
it should be a case-by-case basis.
Fluoride applications for children are now recommended in certain areas, correct?
Correct.
Does that need to... Family doctors, I've heard, have started to do this.
Yeah, I'm not a big proponent of fluoride unless it's necessary.
Okay.
Now, why is that?
Because some people may have bacteria in their mouth that's trying to cause gum disease, and you may never, ever have a cavity in that person's mouth ever, no matter what their oral hygiene or their, you know, dietary habits and things like that.
But they may have gingivitis.
Right.
Oh.
And usually you either are fighting gum disease or fighting tooth decay because the bacteria, the growth of the one will inhibit the growth of the other. So you're usually either in one boat or the other.
That's interesting. Do you have anything with you to look in the side of my mouth to check on my, like, on my gums right now?
On me?
Yeah.
I didn't bring my loops or my headlamp.
Oh,
I heard that you can get a concussion of the tooth. Is this a real term? And do you ever tell anyone that their tooth got a concussion?
I have never said that, but I like that visual. But any tooth that has experienced trauma is, yeah, like having a concussion. And that tooth can behave in many different ways over time, depending on how bad the trauma was and how the tooth is reacting to the concussion.
Have you recently had more dental injuries from one thing versus another? Is there a particular sport that you notice some more? How much is it people on these hoverboards versus trampolines? And do I need to get rid of my trampoline?
Slides. Slides are a big one.
Wow.
Like which one? The electric or the two-seat?
Like running up a slide at the playground or running on a slide or accidents.
It's not like wedding dances.
So like when you lose your teeth as a baby and you lose your upper front teeth, typically the first teeth to come, like permanent teeth to come in, are your two front teeth.
Yeah.
And that's why those are most likely to get injured because they're kind of sticking out there, bigger than all the other teeth, and the first thing you're going to hit if you're running up the slide or falling and hitting the slide or whatever. Not that it's always a slide, but there's a lot of boys in particular,
like,
but it can be girls that break a front tooth.
Okay.
Like I would say a very large percentage of the men I see in my practice have like a crown or some sort of filling on a front tooth.
How do my front
teeth broke it as a kid before they got the rest of their permanent teeth to sort of have them all like lined up like a fence so it's not just like sticking out there. Like at 8 and 9, when those teeth come in, they often break as a child.
I have a friend, Michael Fullen. Hi, Michael. Michael can take his tooth out and put it back in, front tooth. Yeah, in fact, I think it's connected to another one and then it like goes in. Like the other part is only like a cover. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a friend that had one of those back in the day. And he could take part off.
Yeah.
And he could shotgun a beer without putting a hole in it. He would bring it up. His tooth would snap the beer can open. He could shotgun it. And then he could tear like a beer can in half and throw it on the ground. And he was part of the crew prior to Jackass. That crew, they had like a skateboard crew that he participated with even before the real Jackass became a thing.
You know, it was pretty awesome.
I could do something. That personality that probably led to the teeth issues to begin with.
Yes, exactly.
I could do something that I think would probably make Dr. Drum cringe. I can open a beer bottle with my teeth.
Don't ever do that again.
Ever.
Ever.
Corona's
Everyone listening, the number one thing to never do with your teeth is open up a beer bottle.
Even worse than crystal meth.
They're on par with each other.
This is one and two.
But I have fixed college students' teeth specifically because of opening beer bottles or cans with their teeth.
Wow. In the mouth, saliva is good. And when the mouth gets dry, we have issues. But one thing that I've never truly fully understood is a dry socket. Explain to us what a dry socket is.
Okay. So after you've had a tooth extracted, there is bleeding going on, and then a clot forms in the socket. And that sort of is what's filling up that empty hole. Just a bunch of dried blood cells that are forming a clot in the socket. Now, if you were to suck through a straw or suck on a cigarette and create that negative pressure in the mouth, and that clot gets sucked up out of the socket and is no longer in that hole, oftentimes at that point, if it's a day or two later, there isn't enough bleeding going on to reform and fill the socket with a clot. And so then you have an empty socket. And that clot, what that clot is doing when it's in there is it's not only going to create a good medium to for bone to start to form inside that empty socket, but initially it's almost like soothing the reactive nerve endings of the bony socket. So it's like having like a little blanket or a pillow in there to soothe the bone.
So it's a dry socket?
So when there's no longer a clot in the socket because you've lost it, oh, now I'm in trouble.
Mm.
Then you have these nerve endings exposed and it's very painful. And it's pain not just from inflammation that you would normally have from an extraction or any other thing where you need like anti-inflammatories. It's pain from nerve pain. So it's not like, oh, I'll just take an Advil or a Tylenol and I'll feel better.
Mm.
It's like a pain that you can't quite like make it feel better.
Okay.
So a dry socket gets this like, you know, like, oh my God, I don't want to get a dry socket because it is painful. But really what it is, it's just the socket's empty. So then you have to go into the dentist and they create this little like dressing with like some medicinal soothing things like clove and things like that. And they pack it in there so that there's something in the socket to serve the, to like soothe the nerve endings of the bone. But then you have to go back like 3 days in a row and have it changed. So then it's like this ordeal.
Speaking of pain, what are the two or three most painful conditions that people get in the dental world?
The number one thing is an abscessed tooth. And not all abscessed teeth are painful. So if you have trauma on a tooth and that tooth slowly dies off over time and it slowly abscesses over time, it may not cause them any pain at all. And then you go to do a root canal on this abscessed tooth that's dead and is maybe slowly died off over time. And they're like, oh, well, that wasn't that bad. Why do the root canals get all this, like, you know, hype?
Yeah, bad press.
But when you have an acutely abscessing tooth or the decay has just gotten into the pulp and the pulp is, there's all sorts of inflammation. It's freaking out. It's nerve pain. It's everything because the tooth is going, hello, we've got decay into the pulp and we know decay is bacteria.
Yeah.
So the body's literally going, hey, we have bacteria trying to get into the body through the pulp of this tooth. We need to do something about this. That inflammation and that signal through the nerve to the brain, it can be very, very painful. Like Tom Hanks taking out the tooth with the ice skate pain. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
On the island.
Yeah.
But not all abscessed teeth present or happen in that manner.
Okay.
So when you go to do a root canal on a tooth that is acutely abscessing with an intense amount of pain, we call that a hot tooth.
Hot tooth.
Hot tooth.
Hot tooth.
It's very, very difficult to get that tooth numb.
Mm.
Because a very intense amount of inflammation, the pH of that, like renders our anesthetic useless because the pH is like, it just doesn't work out and it's hard to get that tooth numb. So sometimes you have to drill into the hot tooth when the patient's still feeling it just to be able to then ultimately get them out of pain. So you go through this like, this is going to
so you can't do
feel bad for like 20 seconds, but then I'm going to be able to directly numb the nerve and things are going to come down and then we can like get some resolution.
So you wouldn't do sedation at that point?
You could.
Okay.
You could. But like if you're going to your like local dentist that maybe doesn't do sedation and it's on a Saturday and it's an emergency.
Yeah.
You're sort of just like, do whatever needs to happen here so I can like try and carry on with this weekend. That's now terrible.
Yeah. There's a Seinfeld episode where Jerry goes in and he's under sedation. And when he wakes up, he feels like his shirt is buttoned improperly.
Oh.
And so he suggests that there's like this... indiscretion going on at his dental office.
Yeah. Well, we shouldn't even joke about that because that stuff is real.
Oh.
Like that has happened. And then the dentist that then ultimately gets that patient back into the chair to actually have dental work done or see a hygienist, it's like a big mental overcoming to move
past. That's another episode.
That's a totally different episode.
When I'm in the chair, there's a few different things that I'm trying to work my way through. So one of the things I find interesting is when you're getting your dental exam, and this is what it sounds like to me. They go, 323, 121, 212, 211, 112, 312, 333. And then I'm like, ooh, 333. And I'm not sure exactly what they're doing, but I get the sense they're trying to see how much gum tissue I have in between each tooth, but it definitely feels some level of a guesstimate. So explain to me what's going on when they're going 322, 111, 112.
All of that is excellent. That means you don't have periodontal disease. You might just have a little bit of gingivitis, but you're healthy.
What is this term? What are they doing here?
They are doing some perioprobing.
Perioprobing.
I've been perioprobing.
Luckily, it's not like probing up any of the other areas.
I like my hygienist too. I don't mind that she perioprobes me.
Okay. All right. So what they're essentially doing is like when the tooth erupts, the gum tissue creates an attachment around like the neck of the tooth, let's say, right? So you look in your mouth, you have your enamel crown, and then the gum tissue starts, right? So that's where once that tooth erupted, the gum tissue kind of cinched itself or attached around the base of the crown of the tooth. But there's a little sulcus. There's a little pocket.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you could take a tiny little probe and go down the enamel and then find yourself in this little pocket in the gum tissue.
Mm.
Okay? And at the base of that pocket is where the actual attachment to the tooth is. And that attachment is good because that's keeping the plaque and bacteria out
that's
of your body.
That's where the roots are?
Then the root of the tooth, continues on below the gum tissue. But that attachment is very important because that is what's keeping the bacteria out from getting into your body.
Okay.
You have out of the body and then you got in the body. So the attachment is important. A 1 millimeter pocket is like great because it's super easy to brush and clean and you can maybe get the bristles of your toothbrush to sweep down into that 1 millimeter pocket.
4 is bad.
It can sweep down into a 2 millimeter pocket. It can sweep down into a 3 millimeter pocket. You look at 4 millimeters... you're going to have plaque and bacteria down there that's going to fester and cause inflammation.
Okay.
And then inflammation leads to a lack of good attachment around the tooth.
And then that tooth's just hanging there.
And then it downward spirals. The bacteria gets further and further down. And you know what the body does when there's inflammation? It sends a message to the bone for the bone to start disappearing.
Mm.
So there's a cytokine that goes to the site to make the bone go away. Because the body's essentially saying, if there's going to be chronic bacteria and plaque on this tooth, we don't even want it anymore.
Yeah.
We don't want this tooth. So let's mount the inflammatory response. Let's cause bone loss. Let's get rid of this tooth.
Oh,
boy. If it's going to chronically have plaque or bacteria.
Yeah.
What day in dental school do they teach you to ask the patient a question and then immediately go in and start drilling or cleaning? My hygienist, my dentist will be like, hey, how are you doing? Then they'll immediately go, and start either buzzing, drilling, or anything.
And I kind of want to be like,
why'd you ask me a question? And do they do this on purpose? I know they don't want to hear what I have to say. Why'd you ask me then? Do we learn that the first week? Or is that something that just over time you learn the skill?
You're assuming that I'm on board with that's how it happens in my office.
That's true. So now that you're a dentist, and I see that you're always looking at people's teeth, if for some reason my brother died, would you ever date someone with bad teeth?
Never.
Never. No. Okay, so that's a turn off right away.
Oh, yeah, no.
You wouldn't go, ooh, I could fix that?
He has a very healthy, beautiful set of teeth, he which does. Is probably part of the reason that there was that initial attraction.
I love that. Ooh, so teeth can be a thing. I love that. So usually you don't want to discuss issues you have with family members, but now I have physician's issues with dentists. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, so my first issue. There are certain things you need antibiotic prophylaxis for prior to dental things.
Ooh, and wow, there used to be topic here.
And there used to be certain valvular things where the dentist would go, you need antibiotic prophylaxis. Mm-hmm. But the rules have changed. So you don't need it for mitral valve prolapse, really, unless you have had a new artificial valve. You don't really need antibiotic prophylaxis. But I keep getting these messages from the dentist going, hey, why haven't you given this person antibiotics? And I go, because they don't need it.
Oh, wow.
And I go, ask your dentist.
I would never, ever reach out to a physician and say, why isn't this person taking antibiotic prophylaxis ever?
What are your thoughts on post-knee replacement, post-hip replacement? 2 years? Are we actually giving antibiotics for life?
I am very pro the antibiotics working when you need them to work.
Sure.
So I personally would never have anybody pre-medicate.
Okay.
So like for me, I say, if you were told you needed to pre-medicate, you should go get your prophylaxis from the doctor or the surgeon that wanted you to pre-medicate.
I love it. We would get along great, I think.
Yeah.
Next, I get the call of my dentist says I have an abscess and that they won't do a procedure until the infection's down. But they can't see me, and so you need to prescribe the antibiotics prior to that. Which, that didn't make sense to me either. Of which I do, of course. I mean, the patient calls and goes, hey, I have this abscess. Can you give me antibiotics? But I want to be like, your dentist told you to call me. These are just bad dentists where I work.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. No, I'm prescribing my own antibiotics that makes for my sense. Patients with
okay.
abscesses.
Okay, this is going to work very well. This
and
is
if
work
they,
very well.
And if they become someone that doesn't want to make this a decision, because like an abscess tooth has bacteria in the tooth and is then putting bacteria into the jawbone. So at some point, you can't just continue to mask it with antibiotic. You have to either do a root canal or extract the tooth.
Yeah.
You have to treat the underlying infection, which is the bacteria inside of the tooth.
You know, there's a dude in the Bible. Go ahead.
And people will not want to do either of those things. They don't want the tooth extracted. They also don't want to pay for the root canal.
Yeah.
So they just keep wanting the antibiotic.
Right. That makes sense.
So then you have to have the conversation of, I'm going to write this antibiotic for you, but then you need to decide. So if you're going to call back and ask for another antibiotic, I may not give you an antibiotic, and then you're going to have to come in so we can actually treat your condition.
Yeah.
That could not make more sense.
Yeah.
It does. There's a story about a dude in the Bible. So Job, the whole book of Job is about Job.
Mm-hmm.
And his, you know, Job was a good servant, and Satan came along and said, well, of course he's a good servant to God. He's gotten everything. He's got a great family. He's got a great life. You've given him all these things. And that's, you know.
Did he lose his teeth too?
Therefore, well, in Job 19, it talks about how he gets this decay in his mouth. Oh. And it actually is where the line, by the skin of my teeth, comes from. And what he's actually saying is what you talked about earlier, is that the gums, the decay came in, and then so the body sent a message and said, well, we gotta don't even want to be here.
Yeah.
So he was left with just his gums, his teeth. Actually,
sounds like he was depressed.
We're gone. Well, you know, he ends up being fully restored by the end of the book, 40 chapters
implants?
of Job go. Maybe veneers. I'm telling you, if God put them in, girl, you know they were top of the line.
Yeah.
What does a good set of veneers go for these days?
I mean, most people just charge the same for a crown as they do a veneer because the process is the same, even though you're like conserving tooth structure with a veneer.
$1,000 a crown?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Roughly, all right. Depending on the area you live in.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're paying more than 30 grand for your mouth, you're in the negative.
Yeah, that's okay. Not good. That's not good.
All right, I'm just checking. Yo, I'm trying to find out.
I have three dental things that they tell us to do. And I'm going to have you rank them from most important to least important.
Are we going to talk about dental dams at all?
They're not one of the three.
Okay.
They are not one of the three. But in the three, they are brushing, flossing, and mouthwash. If we were to rank them most important to least important.
Ooh.
Ooh. Oh, wow. Okay.
So we're doing Kiss, Marry, Kill with brushing, flossing, and
yeah.
mouthwash.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I have my answer in my brain as to what I think is the most important.
Okay. I'm going to change it a little. So I'm going to say brushing is brushing with a round-headed electric toothbrush. Can we make that as the base, like the standard base model brushing?
A round-headed electric toothbrush.
Because if you're using that as opposed to just a rectangular manual brush, you're going to get a 500 times better brushing every time.
I guarantee that I can, with my hand, brush my teeth just as well as a brush.
Go because the brush strokes per second, per minute with an electric
Have you
brush.
Ever seen me?
Mm-mm. Look at that. The duck has brought a toothbrush.
I hate that kind of toothbrush.
So this is what we're going to do.
This should just be thrown away.
This is a bad toothbrush? This is all we use in the drum house.
No. You don't use an electric toothbrush?
No, this is... No, you.
What?
So what we are going to do, I want this to be, and we're going to get back to that, is... We are going to be announcers, and I want you to deconstruct his brushing. What's good, what's bad, and talk through the deacon, who I love, who's going to put a toothbrush that I just pulled out of my pocket into his mouth.
What could go wrong?
And so,
your mouth looks healthy.
Let's see.
All right, here we go.
We're going to start brushing on the count of...
So I always start ready. I'm going to pretend I have toothpaste.
There's a name for the technique that should be performed. Do you know how to do the
mouthwash? No. We want to see how he does it. Then you can explain to him the correct technique.
Okay. Ready?
My goal, I don't want him to do that well. I hope
Are we ready?
Yeah, we're ready.
Okay, let's go.
I have such high hopes. Oh, shit.
He's down in the bottom. Oh, he only spent 4 to 5 seconds in one cut. He's almost done. He may brush his whole teeth in 12 seconds. In 15
around.
Seconds.
And then I start, now I put it together.
Oh, that's good. That's a good one.
Some of it was
that's
good.
That's actually pretty good.
All right.
He's kind of up and down, going from the front to the back. Ooh, he just got his tongue. He just got way back there. What do you think, Jack? I don't think he's doing too bad. I'm quite impressed by the deacon's ability.
Boom.
Done.
All right. So if you're using a manual brush, then you do want to try and like angle the bristles towards the gum a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And then sweep down. Like you're sweeping, like there's actually crud where the wall meets the floor and you're getting the, like your actual brush you're sweeping with to like sweep that dirt out. Of that seam, you know what I mean?
That seam, 2-1-2,
so you're,
3-2-3.
Right,
two,
you're
two,
actually
three,
effectively four, one, trying three. To angle the bristles at the gum line and then sweep down like you're actually trying to sweep little bits of plaque out of that pocket around the tooth. So the brushing, the biting surface of the teeth is like fine, but like all of your attention should be just sweeping away from the gum line the whole time.
Wow.
Okay.
Focus on the gum line. Don't focus on the actual tooth. That's why I maybe would have put flossing number one and brushing two, but I think
brushing is
still going number one.
I am not good at any sort of night routine as far as like eyelash serums, washing my face, doing any routine at night. I always brush and floss my teeth. Always.
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 Not always using mouthwash.
Never.
Oh, so mouthwash is number three.
I feel like mouthwash is just for those that like need freshening because they're not actually cleaning their mouth.
So it's not even needed. Do you brush first and then mouthwash?
I wouldn't say not needed at all. Like if you have periodontal disease,
would you want
a
mouthwash
sort of,
after brushing? You don't want to do it first, right?
If I were to mouthwash, which maybe I should, but I don't mouthwash, I would... Floss and then brush and then
well,
mouthwash.
Well, see, I use mouthwash because I bet.
And then brush and then mouthwash.
That's what I like to do, yeah.
Wow.
Watch this, Em. I bet you can see. I get these little tonsil things, right? Watch.
Sialolith, yeah.
And you pick them out?
Can you actually push one out?
Oh, you're pushing one out in the middle of an episode?
Did you get one?
Oh, this is up there for one of our grossest episodes. Okay.
You're getting a stone out of your tonsil right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Excellent.
Wow,
excellent. We have to move on.
It's invasive.
What happens there? How does that happen?
This is where the episode goes off the rails. And I think I love it. So next, we are going to a game.
Okay.
This is going to be three of our favorite dental movie characters.
Okay? Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to name three people from movies. And then you're going to rank them on your favorite to least favorite.
Okay.
Okay? I am going to name these three dentists in no particular order. Number one, Dr. Wilbur Wonka. In the new Charlie Chocolate, Willy Wonka.
The musical?
No, the one with Johnny Depp.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the new one is a musical.
He went into candy because his dad did not allow him to have any candy or anything nice. Next, one of my favorites. Yeah. Dr. Stuart Price from The Hangover. Stu, he pulls his one tooth out. He gets the face tattoo.
Oh, yeah.
He marries Heather Graham or dates Heather Graham.
Okay.
And also, Dr. Orrin Scrivello. Dr. Orrin Scrivello, also known as Steve Martin from The Little Shop of Horrors.
You'll be a dentist. You have a habit for causing things pain. Oh, you'll be a dentist. People will pay you to be inhumane. Your temperament is wrong for the priesthood. And teaching would suit you still less. So go be a dentist.
Oh, mama.
You'll be a success.
Ooh, I love it. I love it. I'm here to, I'm ready to hear these rankings.
Let's go.
Let's rank them. One through three, the Deacon and Dr. Drum are going to rank them. I'm ready to hear your rankings.
Wow, that's hard. I mean, I just watched the clip of The Little Shop of Horrors dentist. I think he's got to be my number one.
He does such a great job, but such makes, a great job. But here's the issue. Makes it seem scary to go to a dentist.
Mm.
Makes it the think that dentists.
I know,
are
but
like
I think I
sadists.
Watched that movie probably five or six times as a kid, and I was never scared to go to the dentist.
Okay,
I mean, my dad was my dentist, though.
Of course, of course. Okay, so he's number one. How about for you, Deacon?
My number one dentist, I think, is also Steve Martin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's pretty great. Number two.
What do you got?
Willy Wonka.
You're going with Willy Wonka.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who's the other one?
These are both nostalgia from my
childhood. Price.
Stu, man. I'm going Stu because he pulled out his own incisor.
Yeah. Well, he did. Right? That was very brave.
Alcohol, things can happen.
That was very brave of him. Why do we think people are so scared to go to the dentist?
Most people have a fear of the dentist because they had a bad experience when they were little. And then those that are young that haven't yet had a bad experience will often be fearful of going to the dentist because their parent who had a bad experience then is the one that takes them. And they feed off of their parent's anxiety.
Oh,
so
sure.
I tell people that have just had a child and they're asking me, you know, when do I first bring them to the dentist, this and that. I say, bring them with you every time you come. In the car seat, running around.
Yeah,
get them familiar with the smells, the sounds, everything. If one of the two parents of this child has dental anxiety, never have them bring them to the dentist.
Okay.
So whichever parent is most comfortable at the dentist should be the one to bring the child to the dentist.
And you never just give somebody a shot of noxious when they're like they're
like
feeling
handed
uncomfortable.
Out like Tic Tacs.
Yeah, just come along. Just come over here. Have a little swig.
I've actually never administered nitrous oxide in my office.
Okay.
Okay.
Wow.
I love it. I love it. Excellent. Next. Our next dental game is a ranking, but this is a ranking of famous people with a gap, with a tooth gap. So our three people are Anna Paquin from True Blood, which I used to love that show back in the day. I read
love
some of the books.
Show. Oh, my word.
Wow. We got a good competitor in initially. Number two is a Madonna, famous for her gap.
Yep.
And number three, the man who has every job and works every position is Michael Strahan.
So handsome.
So let's hear him ranked.
He's my number one.
He's my number one. The only acceptable gap, I think, out there.
Wow. Okay. Yep. Do we even rank two and three, or do we even leave them out at this point?
Madonna's a two. I guess we'll go with Madonna at two. Just because she has more seniority, I think.
Sure. And Anna Paquin, she's just not that famous.
Yeah.
Right. And she should have closed her gap.
Yeah. I love it. Well, one of the things that we know is that dental disease is one of the silent epidemics going on in the country. What we do know is that having good dental care means oftentimes your health is overall better. Those taking care of their teeth, those focused on dental hygiene, overall have better health. And so if you want to try to get healthy, step one should be go to the dentist. Is that crazy as opposed to going to the doctor? I don't know, but maybe. Maybe going to the dentist.
My Shih Tzu would have lived many more years longer if I hadn't let his uncontrolled periodontal disease go unchecked.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
My Shih Tzu had to have all of his teeth removed. And he actually thrived after he had all his teeth removed.
Well, I can
and
tell
I've
you
flossed Fletcher's teeth every night for the past
You
week.
Floss your dog's teeth?
I mean,
teeth.
Not floss. I brushed them. But I hope to get to the point where he's comfortable enough that I can floss
is
them.
The question is, will he ever get mouthwash?
No.
I tell you what, I'm impressed by the level of knowledge. And so I've changed my tune that I think, you know, becoming a dentist is something that that I think anyone who thinks about getting into the medical field should maybe think about saying, hey, listen.
The overhead is very high.
For the equipment, all the things that you need to perform.
And then being dentistry. A business owner is... Incredible. The dentistry's great.
Yes.
Yeah. Well,
it's amazing.
You know, as Steve Martin said in The Dentist, you know, it doesn't need to be a place where you're going for pain. And it doesn't need to be a little shop of horrors.
Oh, 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 oh.
Whoa.
I love it. I love it. There's two things you can count on. The doc is in.
And the deacon
is speaks. And the dentist is flossing.
Holla.
Oh. Ooh.
We want to give a shout out to our significant others, our producer, Tucker Butler, our rapper franchise, Bree, who's helping out with our social media. And we want to thank Dr. Emily Drum for coming on the show.
Thank you, Dr. Emily Drum. Check us out on TikTok. You'll see... Dr. Drum with his medical assistant, Amber, performing lots of great TikToks for us as well.
Yeah, yeah. And if you need dental care, call 585-DENTIST.
Holla.
Peace.
Excellent brain trust to market and brand this that's set in stone like the Ten Commandments. This show gon' be around for infinite years. I think we can all agree on ice cold beers. 100% authentic, you can't fake it. Often imitated, but never duplicated. So knowledge will take a lot of facts in. Now I'm coming to close it like Aroldis Chapman.